shocked that I ate a salad.
Well, I wish we had enough time to get the breaking news bumper right now.
I'm not shocked that you ate a salad. I'm shocked that you made a salad.
I'm shocked that you ate a salad.
Well, it's not that hard. You just go to your local grocery store, and I pick up. It's already like, it's just cutting and peeling.
I understand what goes.
What are you peeling, by the way?
I understand what
carrots.
Why don't you just buy pre-peeled carrots?
You know, you could, I mean, that's...
Do you sit there in your kitchen peeling carrots?
I peel.
Well, I'll tell you what, he has enough time on his hands to peel carrots.
That's true.
And the reason why is there was some discord in the Illegal Curve family this week. As he quit for about a period of time.
Yeah, it was like a two-minute quit.
Yeah, I quit. There's the I quit email.
It was a joke.
I'm sick and tired of you guys not listening to me. I quit. My ideas are as valid as yours are. I quit.
The best part was when, as he quit and came back, an email, and the title was, as he quit, and then the body of the email was, but now he's back.
It's funny. Oh, man. Good times. It was a slow day. It was a slow work week.
No kidding.
Well, no, as he quit, but then, and then said he wanted to, you know, have a meeting for this week's show, and I said, well, why do you want to have a meeting?
You just quit.
You quit.
We never have meetings
and
anymore.
And he wrote, no, he's like, now I'm back.
Yeah. You would quit and then called a meeting, which doesn't, you know, you're George just showing back up to the office with pretending that you had never actually quit.
Why is he here?
Yeah. You guys are actually going to take my chair away one day and I'll just bring my own chair, own microphone.
Well, we just assume you're going to break the chair you're currently sitting in again.
Remo, your thoughts?
I can still play the breaking news. We still got time for that.
No, it's okay. I think
it's not breaking anymore.
Yeah, we already,
except for the
we
chair.
Already broke it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Hey, but if I keep eating these salads, I'm going to lose weight. Then I won't break chairs anymore.
It's true.
How many cheeseburgers?
Richie might break a chair over my head, but...
How many cheeseburgers did you have this week?
None.
Really?
Which is funny because I get 3 a day in my contract.
Yeah, I think we might be in you know, we may have violated the terms of your CBA there, Ezzy.
You're a violator.
You're a violator.
Let's continue talking about the winners and losers in the Western Conference. Moving to the Northwest Division, let's start in Edmonton. Their only real loss this year was Cam Barker, and if you saw him play last year, you know that wasn't much of a loss. And their additions were Nail Yakupov and Justin Schultz.
Two gem of young players, so yeah. I mean, it's a winner.
Yeah, Edmonton's obviously a big winner. Edmonton, you know, is the next Canadian team that is going to be a dominant force in the Western Conference. Obviously, getting Justin Schultz is huge for them. They need offense on defense, and yeah, Nail Yakupov. You know, they obviously got the number one pick again. There's an embarrassment of riches there. There's nothing else you can say, and when
you finish last enough years in a row, you're
yeah. That's well obviously you. The unfortunate part of it, but no, I mean the amount of young talent they have on forward, and then you know defense. You know, Devin Dubnyk got the contract, and we talked to Ryan Rashog about that last week. But they're big time winners. I mean, they've been in the basement forever, but they're finally going to start to get out of it. I think they'll make the playoffs this year.
The Calgary Flames lost Olli Jokinen. They lost David Moss. They lost Scott Hannon. They added Dennis Wiedemann for that ridiculous contract. They added Yuri Hudler. And they added Roman Cervenka, who was playing over in the KHL. You know, they're a better team. I don't agree with most of the moves, but they're a better team than they were last year.
I mean, we're not looking at this through the lens of the long term as much as we're looking at it as from last season.
Right. And we pretended that salaries didn't matter.
Right, and they've gotten better talent-wise. I think, you know, Weidman's a significant upgrade over Hannon on the back end. Jokinen's not as big of a loss, I think, there. I think they're probably happy to see him go. They're going to try and replace him with Cervenka up the middle. Moss can be a nifty player, but I think Hudler is going to add a nice creativity in terms of their offensive ability. I think they're a little bit more up and down. I think he adds a little bit of a horizontal element to their game. And with a new coach like Bob Hartley, you know, under Brent Sutter, they probably wouldn't even have signed him. But under Bob Hartley, who preaches offense, I think Hudler is going to be a helpful player. And I think overall they've gotten better. I think in the long term those deals are significant and overpays, but yeah, I think
significant overpays, but an improvement.
I think next season they'll be a better team, talent-wise.
Yeah, I mean, short term, we're looking at the short term, setting aside contracts. The Wiedemann contract, he got too much money, too many years. Short term, yeah, they're better. I mean, Olli Jokinen obviously signed with the Jets for 2 years, and Yuri Hudler, you know, I've always thought there was more coming from Yuri Hudler, and if he didn't get it done on Detroit, I'm a little bit skeptical. I think he's going to give you know, Calgary, you know, kind of hit and miss season. But yeah, short term, definitely better. But again, long term, you know, what's happening with that team? I mean, where are they going? There's you know, a few guys that you don't know if they're going to turn out to be good prospects because they're not going to be in the top six. But, you know, always when there's Iggy and Camilleri and Tanguay there in the top line, you're going to get offense. So, again, Calgary, again, though, I still think they're a bubble playoff team.
I would probably agree with that assessment. The Vancouver Canucks, their only real subtraction was Sammy Salo. They added Jason Garrison. Anyway, you look at it, I mean, Garrison's probably an upgrade over Salo.
Yeah, but
and we don't know what's going to happen with Luongo yet, and that's sort of hanging over.
I don't know if Garrison is an upgrade over Salo. I'm not. I mean, this is the thing with
Salo's injured too.
Jason Garrison had one good NHL season. We talked about this before, and they gave him a 6-year. They gave him a lot of money, and that's fine because they liked what they saw in that 1 year. But I Sammy Salo is a lot better defensively. You know what, Vancouver, I'm going to say, is a loser because they're in a position where the Vancouver Canucks have a shrinking window of opportunity for them to start to a shrinking window for them to continue to be one of the dominant teams in the Western Conference. And I think that they're not adding a piece. We talked about maybe getting a guy like Shane Doan, a guy like that, a veteran guy, to take them to the next level. I mean, last year the Vancouver Canucks, you know, were absolutely wiped out by the LA Kings. They haven't done anything to make them better. So I think they're a loser.
So you're saying they're a loser.
Yep.
A little Ace Ventura for you there.
I think they're fairly similar. I think Garrison's probably a small upgrade over Sammy Salo, who's a really good defenseman when he's healthy. But overall, I don't think they've made huge gains. If they do get Shane Doan, obviously that's a really good upgrade to their second line right wing spot. But aside from that, I think, you know, I don't think they've made really any changes here. So I don't think they've taken a massive upgrade by any means.
Minnesota Wild, I mean, we can go through the players they added. We don't really need to. We know them. Suter, Parisi, those are the first two ones. Mm-hmm. Konopka, Mitchell, they lost Laton Drest, and they lost Mike Lundin.
Yeah, I mean, they're worlds.
Yeah.
Worlds apart in terms of talent from last year. There's really nothing not to like. You know, you might not like a crazy amount of money, all that, but in terms of talent-wise, it's the biggest upgrade of the offseason, and they're the biggest winner talent-wise.
Yeah, I still think that. No, I mean, it's in between Carolina and Minnesota for biggest winners, but when you look at the scale,
it's Minnesota.
Yeah, when you look at the scale, it would be tough to not say it's Minnesota. And yeah, it's incredible what they're going to do, not only for now, but the fact that it's significant. They were both signed to 12-year contracts. These two guys are now the face of the franchise, and obviously the face of the franchise has been Mikko Koivu, and There's nobody happier than Mikko Koivu now, knowing that he's going to be playing with Zach Parise.
Parise.
Well, his dad was
Minnesota
Parise. Okay, that's right. He likes to be called Parise.
Yeah,
so,
he wants to
but
be
no, I mean, no. They instantly become not a contender, but they instantly become significantly better. I still don't think you can say Minnesota is going to be the Stanley Cup champion. It doesn't work like that. But
well,
they're
fast
significantly
forward 2
better.
Years when all the rest of their young talent is ready to make that next step. Maybe not even 2 years, maybe 1 year.
Yep.
And that's going to be a top four in a Western Conference team.
Yeah, they go from a bottom feeder in the Western Conference to possibly a top four team.
And all
in the
it cost them was $250 million.
And people are already saying that. Coach Mike Gill's already saying Michael Granlund's going to very well be the opening season on the second line with Matt Cullen and Devin Setoguchi.
Yeah. Yep. Now, the future certainly is bright in the supposed state of hockey in Minnesota.
It's not supposed.
That was pretty degrading, Drew.
I try every now and then. The last team in the Northwest Division is the Colorado Avalanche. They added P.A. Parenteau. They added Jamie McGinn. They added, is that John Mitchell or Torrey Mitchell?
John. Torrey went to Minnesota.
Okay, right. Sorry. They added John Mitchell and they added Greg Zannon, and they lost Peter Mueller, who supposedly has never felt healthier.
That's true.
Yeah. I think they're certainly a better team than they were last year. I don't necessarily love all these signings, but I think that they are better than they were last year.
Yeah, I mean, Zannon's a guy you can block shots, kill penalties, play defensively. I think he's a good undervalued player. I think that Parenteau, add your nice speed, some offense to the team. McGinn can play on your third line. Mitchell is a fourth line speedster. You provide depth, you know, kind of a tweener on the fourth there. But I think overall, you lose Mueller, but Mueller really didn't play for them. So I think you're losing, really not losing much there. I like the signing in Florida, but in terms of what Colorado lost, they really didn't lose much. So in saying that, I think overall, over last year, and taking out the contracts for second talent-wise, they've gotten better.
Again, I guess a small winner. A Colorado Avalanche, I don't know where they're going or where they're...
I think they're running in place.
they're kind of the Colorado Avalanche are not going to be successful at all unless Paul Stastny and Matt Duchene lead the team, because those are the main guys there. And you know, TJ Gagliardi got a contract there, but you know, I guess they got a little bit better. P.A. Parenteau is a guy that obviously had success with Tavares and Molson, so that's probably the only key guy there. Yeah, and Greg Zanon, I mean, he's going to fill, again, a defensive defenseman role, and he's obviously had a lot of success in Nashville, and last year he was on Minnesota. But yeah, I guess small winner, but again, I look at it also a little bit in terms of, you know, is that really going to make that big of a difference? The goaltending isn't the best, and so small winner.
I agree with both of you in that case. Why don't we go to break when we come back? The final segment in this winners or losers, I guess, two-week extravaganza that we've been doing.
It's an extravaganza.
Is it an extravaganza? Is it?
It's an extravaganza.
What are you guys sure you're not allowed to say that on radio.
Vaganza.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, what's happening next week?
When you're in Chicago with Bruce Springsteen, don't you worry. Dave Minuk, four-man booth.
Four-man booth.
Yeah, we're doing a four-man booth. Yeah. Remus, Dave Minuk, Drew, and I. Yeah. It's going to be...
chaos.
It's going to be chaos. Yeah. Organized chaos.
Not so sure how organized it's going to be.
Trust me, I'll be organized. If there's one thing that I am, it is organized.
That's true.
Yeah, so, I mean, it'll be organized.
Actually, chaos. I have to say, I'm a season ticket holder. We have a season ticket holder relationship with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and our pickups are always organized. Whenever I pick you up or you pick me up, it's very organized.
When you're picking up girls, it's a different story.
Yeah. I don't do that anymore.
Well, you don't.
Yeah.
As he does. It's very disorganized.
Yeah.
Remus, on the other hand, that guy knows how to run some
Reem runs Alpha Game.
He's got a cabin on the lake. Let's go to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And our website is www.illegalcurve.com. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in studio by Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. Producer Remus, sitting in the producer's chair for the first time ever.
Producer Jim.
Producer Jim?
You can follow Remus in real life on Osborne.
You don't have to follow him on Twitter. You can just follow him in real life on Osborne.
Reem has a new apartment by the lake.
This segment is...
River. Is it on river or like literally on the river?
I'm going to be in the river after this show.
This segment is brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. For over 25 years, Rumors has been Winnipeg's home for the best in stand-up comedy. For a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. We've been talking about it for a number of months, really all summer long. This coming week, September 7th and September 8th, so that's Friday and Saturday, two nights only, Tom Arnold at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club.
This guy was married to Roseanne Barr.
It's true,
That's a whole routine right there.
He was also on the Best Damn Sports Show, period, which aired for many years on Fox Sports Television. Just a very funny comedian, very funny actor. You know him in movies, every movie.
True Lies?
True Lies, exactly.
Wasn't he on Roseanne for a while?
He was in Austin Powers. No, he was never on Roseanne.
Yeah, he was. He was on Roseanne.
Pretty sure he was on Roseanne.
He was Dan's friend.
What about David and Arlene? Was it Darlene?
Darlene. It was Darlene.
Tom Arnold was also recently, we talked about this a little bit last week, he was on the Jeff Ross roast of Roseanne.
Right. And he's got a new movie in theaters right now, Hit and Run. It debuted in theaters on August 24th. So he'll be at Rumors Friday and Saturday next week. Call Rumors, 488-4520. Get your tickets to see Tom Arnold.
Drew, do you think Tom Arnold, when he's in Winnipeg, would go see his own movie with me if I asked him?
If you asked him nicely, maybe.
If I paid, maybe.
Can you afford the two movie tickets?
More importantly, can we get Tom Arnold to get you somebody to write a movie about you?
That would be
nobody would believe
that,
it.
That, nobody. That would be a guaranteed flop.
No, it wouldn't.
That would get a Razzie. You know those Razzie awards they give out?
Let's finish off this winners and losers with the Pacific Division. We'll start with the Stanley Cup champion Los Angeles Kings, and we've just ended the Stanley Cup champion Los Angeles Kings. Same exact team as last year. No real changes whatsoever.
Yeah, they re-signed Jarrett Stoll. They re-signed Colin Fraser. Yeah. But again,
they re-signed Dustin Penner.
Yeah, they re-signed Dustin Penner. Who would have been a UFA, actually.
Yeah, same with Stoll.
And who was a UFA, I guess, Stoll as well. Both of them. And that was no surprise because, obviously, coming off the Cup win, those guys were key key parts of it. But, I mean, the LA Kings made their moves last year, and, you know, aside from maybe a couple of guys getting a chance in the AHL, they have a guy like Loktionov or somebody like that. The team's not going to be much different next year.
This is the one
if it ain't broke.
This is the one team, Drew, where by being the same, you win.
That's right. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. If they play like they did last in the playoffs, they can steamroll a lot of teams. The question is, will they? It's so hard to match, you know, what you did the previous year because your offseason is so much shorter. And you're distracted by having the cup around all the time and all those extra. There's no real turning off from the NHL
now. I know
when you're the Stanley Cup champions. It's a good problem to have.
If you recall correctly, you mentioned the short summer. Well, it might actually be a short summer because it might. But hold on.
Yeah.
If you recall correctly, the Rangers actually missed the playoffs after the 90 in the Lockhart shortened season 95. The Rangers actually missed the playoffs, so maybe there was an effect there.
Sometimes it takes you a little while to get back into
it. It's funny that Richie mentioned that because the Devils won the Cup the year after the Rangers, and then the Devils missed the playoffs the next year.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's pretty funny. You don't see that very often anymore, but, you know, the LA Kings are, let's be honest, they're still partying.
Can't blame them. That's to the victor go the rewards. Why are you laughing?
You always say that.
I know. Well, it's true. It's a good expression. The Anaheim Ducks, they lost Justin Schultz, even though he never actually played for them, but he was their property, and they lost him for nothing. They lost Lubomir Vishnovsky, and they lost George Parros. They gained
Daniel Winnick,
Sheldon Surrey for some strange reason, and Brian Allen.
I'm going to go loser.
Yeah. That's clear loser.
And the thing is, you know, the Anaheim Ducks, there's uncertainty. Bobby Ryan doesn't want to be there anymore. I mean, you know, Vishnovsky went to the Islanders, obviously. Exactly.
He's filed a grievance over that.
There's a grievance there, but no, Sheldon Surrey at this point in his career can't offer much. I mean, the Ducks are, aside from, you know, Cam Fowler looking in the future, there's not a lot there. So a big winner, loser.
I do want to say one thing on that. I mean, we're not taking contracts into account here, which would make them even a bigger loser, but you know, you lose Wisnowski, you lose Schultz, who was going to be taking a significant role on your team.
Yep.
You add Winnick. I like the winning condition. That's fine. But Surrey and Allen on the back end, I mean, Surrey and Allen combined really don't make up for Wisnowski as far as I'm concerned. Never mind the fact that Schultz was going to come up. Surrey can hardly skate the NHL level anymore, and Allen's not the best skater. Sure, Fowler. I mean, there's some offensive talent there, and they need to get bigger, a little more tough. But overall, I don't think those signings are good signings. I think they're clear losers.
Moving right along, staying in the state of California, the San Jose Sharks, they lost Daniel Winnick that we mentioned. They lost Mitchell. They added Adam Burrish, and they added Mark Stewart. Brad Stewart. Mark Stewart plays for the Jets.
And by doing that, Drew, they got better because Winnick and Mitchell really weren't adding much. They were on their bottom two lines, and I think you add Burrish, that's fine, whatever. But it's Stewart, and you're adding a guy who can play top 4 minutes. And if you're losing bottom six players and you're adding a top four player, you're a winner.
Brad Stewart, would you agree that he's an underrated defenseman in the NHL?
You know, he went from a point from being underrated to overrated back to underrated. Yeah. You know, he's a good skater. He moves a puck. He's not going to be your top power play guy, but he can play kind of anywhere you want. He can play with different players. He can skate. He can move the puck. And those two things are so valuable. And he's now going to be playing close to his family, which is why he ended up going to San Jose. He got traded there and signed there. And I think his addition on a team that has back-end issues, right?
Yeah.
Adds depth, adds veteran presence, goes back to where he's already been, knows the team. So the transition to San Jose is not as big as it would be if he never played there before.
There's a big comfort level between those two, between the organization and the team. And I mean, once it was clear he wasn't going back to Detroit because he wanted to be on the West Coast, which is, by the way, the only leverage that a player has, and he used it to his advantage.
And give Detroit and San Jose credit.
They made it happen.
They made it happen, but they also made a trade. Like, they were respectful of everybody.
Well, you know what? Detroit said, we know we're not, you know, Detroit said, okay, well, this guy's gone. Let's get something for him.
And San Jose knew they were going to get him anyways, Drew. So they gave a little bit, I forget what draft pick it was they gave
up. It was a low.
But, I mean, it was acknowledging that he basically forced their hand, and they did it in a classy manner.
He's got leverage. He used his leverage properly. I mean, honestly, leverage is the, you know, the mystery word on this program. And, you know, we just talk about it all the time. The general managers don't seem to know how to use it. The players, when they have it, which doesn't happen all the time, used it properly in this case. The Phoenix Coyotes. Shane Doan, big question mark that hangs over everything. They lost Ray Whitney. They added Steve Sullivan. They added Moss, and they added Zibanejad Mihalik from Pittsburgh. You know,
Phoenix.
I would
is
say the Mihalik is they're winners. I would say.
I think they're winners. If they lose Doan, though, then you get to ask a question. If you lose Doan right. and, Whitney, and replace them with Sullivan and Moss, and you get Mihalik, I might make them closer to staying similar because you are losing off. I know they're hoping Sullivan and Moss can contribute what Whitney and Doan did, but Whitney had a crazy year last year, and Doan's still a good player. So I think
and you're Sullivan played with Crosby last year.
I think you're probably around. I think you're probably around the same if Doan leaves. If Doan returns, then you're clearly a winner.
Yeah, Mihalik is the fact. Again, we talked about this earlier this summer, but getting him from Pittsburgh is just huge. He's a fantastic defenseman, extremely talented. He was a huge part of their team last year. So winner, and again, some uncertainty with Shane Doan. But, you know, Steve Sullivan for Ray Whitney, I think, is a downgrade.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Mihalik is... The Coyotes are a fantastic defensive team. Now they're even better.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they're able to... They're gonna play the same style under Dave Tippett mm-hmm. that they have the last few years. So, you know, they're still going to be a very competitive team.
And he fits their style. Yep. Mihalik fits their style.
Yeah, again, it's a guy that they're comfortable with. I mean, you know, when Pittsburgh... gave him away for nothing. Phoenix jumped at the opportunity. They never wanted to lose him in the first place. I still don't quite understand why Pittsburgh, you know, did what they did in getting rid of him. I mean, unless it was, you know,
to free up the room
to try and get Suter. I mean, that didn't work out, and then Pittsburgh's struggling on the back end, and Phoenix is saying thank you very much. You know, a problem that you didn't really have that you sort of forced upon yourself, we'll take advantage of that. It's amazing that for such a bad organization, they're so well run in terms of their head coach and their general manager.
Don Maloney does a great job.
I mean, I mean, you know, nobody, you know, he should be the executive of the year every single year. At least in the last couple of years, he should be at least.
Great.
Last team.
Tippett's done a great
job. Yeah, Tippett has been, I mean, what Tippett's done with, we've talked about it before.
Yeah.
The last team in the winners or losers, Dallas Stars. Oh, yeah, you know, it's not down here, but a big addition that they got is ownership, steady ownership, stable ownership.
Yes.
They lost Mike Ribeiro. They traded him, obviously. They lost Steve Ott, and they lost Adam Party. They gained Jagr. They gained Whitney. They gained Eakin. They gained Roy, and they gained Rome.
I mean, I think big winner.
Undoubtedly.
But, you know, the Derek Roy injury is obviously not good. But he'll be back.
By November, so it's only a month.
Yeah, he'll be back.
And there probably won't be hockey at that point.
Love Cody Eakin. We had him on the show a couple years ago, actually. Mm-hmm. He's from Winnipeg. He's a guy that, you know, they have high hopes for, and they were willing to trade Ribeiro for. Yeah, I like the moves. Jagr, did they sign him to 2 years?
One year.
They signed him to one, and then they gave Whitney 2 years.
Yeah.
We had Frank Provenzano on as well, and he talked to us, and you just get the idea that team is going in the right direction finally, because they've been struggling, you know, on and off the ice for a while now.
And that's a team that's only going to be successful at the box office if they are a good team. Yes. It's been proven. When they were the Dallas Stars of the late 90s and the early 2000s.
Of yesteryear.
They were selling out their games, and they had a great atmosphere there in Dallas. Lately, it's been a struggle, especially because, you know, nobody wants to support a team that doesn't have real ownership.
And they've had an issue, Drew, I think, since moving from Reunion Arena, capturing that same
feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Reunion Arena was gritty and ugly and everything else that made it sort of a perfect home for them.
Yeah, kind of like Remus. He's going from an apartment that kind of made it a perfect home for him, and now he's going to a new apartment. Can he capture the feeling in the new apartment that he had in the old apartment?
If anyone knows anything about moving into a new place, it's you, Richie.
Touché.
You made a bisque.
I wouldn't call Richie's
that
place
was 2 weeks
a condo
ago.
More so than I would call it a palace. It's palatial.
I made a dip last week and I screwed it up.
Too much garlic, I heard.
Too much garlic.
The bisque was good.
I blame Dave Manuk. He read the ingredients wrong.
So hang on. I haven't been at the bisque party or the dip party.
I was at the dip party, but I missed the bisque party.
Do I understand that Saturday nights are now Richie's, like, you cook for people on Saturday
We had a barbecue
nights?
Last week.
It's more Saturday, like... late afternoon, early evening, and then you go to wherever, maybe.
So you bring the dip or the bisque with you.
Yeah, you become, you're a good guest. Drew.
Richie has a Saturday night glass of white wine, and then...
red wine.
Then hit Osborne up.
Well, Remus is already there. He texts me where to go.
Let's go to break. I might not come back. Bruce Delbing of Globe and Mail is up next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, live on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 10:30 in the morning... we're trying to get a hold of Bruce Dowdbegin of the Globe and Mail. Once we do, we'll bring him to you. Talk about a great experience coming up here on TSN 1290. You can listen to when it starts Tuesday, right after the Labor Day long weekend. It's the ultimate Winnipeg Jets game day experience. You get everything that you could ever want. It's just a fabulous thing. You get to come into the morning show with Jay Troy and Matt. You get to off to see Jets practice with Munsey, Bayak, and Nighty. You get to be a part of Rick Ralph's Rona Roundtable show. That debuts on Tuesday here. And then during the actual game, you and nine friends get a private suite at the Jets game. Another 20 tickets in case you have more than nine friends. The problem I don't have to deal with very often.
That's for sure.
You know, Ezzy, you have like something like 4,000 friends or something
right,
on
and
Facebook.
And I actually know like a few of them.
Yeah, exactly. So you get 30 tickets total. For a Jets game.
That's
and
awesome.
You get your name up in the big screen on the lights. You just keep it tuned here to TSN 1290. This contest gets underway on Tuesday. And really, I mean, I can't believe everything that you get with this. Just stay tuned for it. It is a fabulous package. And you get to listen for your cue to call on Tuesday starting here on TSN 1290. Still trying to get Bruce Daubigan on the line. Remus is doing his best to get him there. I'm sure he'll get him on.
Someone's
going to
plug
time.
That phone in for Remus.
Come on, Remo.
Yeah, you think the phone's unplugged? Is that the problem? You know, one of those trademark mistakes.
Or he's not dialing the area code.
Yeah. Or who was it? What's his name on Seinfeld? Where the phone actually isn't plugged in and he keeps ringing the bell for when he's selling computers
Lloyd
with
Braun?
George. What's that?
Lloyd Braun.
Yeah, Lloyd Braun. Not Lloyd Braun.
Yeah, it's Lloyd Braun.
Yeah, it is Lloyd Braun. Sorry, it is Lloyd
Braun.
It's the
second Lloyd Braun.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, my mistake.
There was another Lloyd Braun earlier in the series.
That's true.
If only we get a new Drew Mandel.
You can't get a new Drew Mandel. That would be sacrilege as far as I'm concerned. What kind of crazy talk is that?
You can't be replaced.
I appreciate that.
We're trying to get Bruce. Oh, there we go.
I believe we have him. Do you want to? Let's go.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Let's welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, our good friend from the Globe and Mail, Bruce Daubigan. Bruce, good morning. How are you?
I've got a nice little nifty sting and everything there for you. Boy, I'm telling you, I feel important.
That wouldn't have it any other way. Bruce, thanks for joining us this morning. You know,
Not a problem.
We want to start with, you know, this is obviously with the CBA negotiations, that's sort of hanging over everything. We know that the NHL is still guaranteed to get money from the U.S. TV deal this year. And then what they would get is at the back end, they would get NBC and NBC Sports Network would get a quote-unquote free year to be added on to the end of the deal. Does the Canadian TV deal say anything on that issue in terms of them still having to pay for the rights?
As far as I know, they continue to pay, that they pay into the NHL. The NHL, the last time around, did some make goods for them and helped them out a little bit. But as far as I know, they still have to pay. There's nothing in the clause about it.
So really the owners keep getting this revenue in and they don't have to pay any of it out. It's just profit at this point in time.
Well, as many people have said, teams like Phoenix, Nashville, Columbus, the most money they ever made in the NHL in an NHL season was the lockout year. That's when they were truly profitable.
Yeah. That might be part of the problem with their financial structure to begin with, but that's for another day and time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've talked about it before, but, you know, the two sides have their negotiating positions, but the big picture is about, and I've said this before, that this really isn't necessarily a dispute between the players and the owners. This is a dispute among the owners about what kind of business they want to run. Do they want to be a 30 teams, running a welfare department that keeps other places going, or do they want to find the strongest markets wherever they are? And move teams there. I mean, you guys are the perfect example of that. A team going to a market where people actually want hockey. You know, they can't make up their minds, or they haven't made up their minds, or maybe Gary Bettman won't let them make up their minds. And so, you know, they have to turn around and play this whack-a-mole game with the players every negotiations and try to hammer down a deal that protects everybody. And, you know, as I said before, too, I don't know any industry where all the businesses will be in the industry are profitable. I mean, that the way things work is you know, creative destruction, and the guys at the bottom end fall off and new people come in and new ideas come in. But the NHL is stale, and it's still trying to make a 1990s formula for its league win to profit, and that is expansion and equity, et cetera. So,
Bruce, we've been hearing for weeks that the Winter Classic game, obviously on New Year's, between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Detroit Red Wings is going to be the impetus to end the lockout. And then obviously, you know, the fact that the event has become so big and there's the HBO 24/7 series, you know, that revolves around that game. Do you think that Winter Classic is really going to be the impetus to ending the lockout?
Well, I would suggest, and it is the whole package. I mean, I keep reminding people, they keep saying, well, January 1st and the game. It's more than the game now. As you just pointed out, it's the HBO series that leads in. It's the whole preamble to the NBC season. And I don't think it's a make or break thing with NBC, for instance. I don't think it's a leverage issue with NBC that you know that the game might be played not be played that year. But the HBO thing to me is a real it's a major coup for the league. They finally found a way to get into American popular culture on HBO with this series. To me, I just find it very hard to believe that Gary Bettman and these guys, in the interests of you know trying to divvy up the revenues within the league, would let this go. I think that would be disastrous. I think it would be really short-sighted. But you know, the league has been short-sighted before. It wouldn't be the first time.
That's right. You know, Bruce, you talk about a lot in your Globe and Mail articles, run Monday, Wednesday, Friday in the Globe and Mail for people who are interested about the prospective, next. Canadian TV deal, and for fans who don't know, the NBC is currently paying about $200 million a year to the NHL. It's going to be paying $200 million a year under the new deal. Do you have any idea at all what the number is going to be on an annual basis for the next Canadian deal in 2 years?
Well, I mean, initially I was thinking under the terms of the old national deal, which was one carrier, in this case CBC, owning those national rights, the playoffs, et cetera, and that was it. And then, you know, they would have a subcontract for TSN or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that this time around that the NHL is going to try to create a package that keeps all three of the major bidders happy in Canada, that being TSN, Sportsnet, and CBC. I'm coming around to the thought that CBC might be able to hang on to the Saturday Night Hockey Night in Canada franchise, maybe lose the playoffs the way they've had them in the past, and that we may see something like a Sunday night in a hockey game, the way that we've seen Sunday night NFL games. We might see a Sunday night or Monday night NHL game be a featured production, let's say, of TSN or CTV or something along those lines. If those things all happen, I can see the contract being easily in the neighborhood of $200 to $250 million a year for Canada.
Wow, that's a lot of money. We're joined on
and just for perspective, it's $100 million now. CBC pays approximately $100 million a year for the product now.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Bruce Dalbiggan of the Globe and Mail. Bruce, with the NHL's national TV schedule being released this past week,
yep.
In addition to the Winter Classic, which we know is mandatory viewing for people, that sort of thing, the NHL seems to be doing more and more big events. They have this year the second consecutive Thanksgiving Showdown, which will be a marquee game played on the Black Friday right after U.S. Thanksgiving. Is the NHL finally coming around to making the schedule in such a way that they make certain games seem bigger than they truly are?
Well, that's exactly what John Collins is trying to do. John Collins is the guy who the NHL brought in from the NFL. He worked at NFL Films. He was the president of the Cleveland Browns for a while. They brought him in to basically bring their product up to speed, their TV communications product. And what he's talked about all the time is event television. So the first of those things, obviously, is the January 1st game. But trying to find events that they can spin out as special events during the course of a long, long NHL season. The idea being that the rivalries, the fourth time that Chicago and Detroit played during the season, it doesn't do for fans anymore. It just doesn't turn their crank. You need to do other things. And so this idea of a sort of featured game in the American Thanksgiving weekend, the January 1st thing, the NHL All-Star Draft, where the guys pick their teams, et cetera, this is all samples of creating broadcast products that you can go back and sell to the networks. And this is where I'm sort of frustrated with the debate that's going on in the negotiations at the moment, because what Collins is doing in these broadcast properties are telling you that's the future of pro sports right now. That's where it's going. It's not about equity and expansion and all these 1990s issues. And so much of what the debate is about in this negotiation, at least from the point of the NHL, is all based on what Gary Bettman promised the teams back in the 1990s, the new owners, et cetera. And he's trying to make good on a formula that doesn't work anymore. And within his own office, he's got a guy who's showing him the future of pro sports. In that future, you don't lock out your players. You don't shut down seasons. You create product. You partner with them, and you create product for the TV networks.
Bruce, some people don't know this, but there's actually UFAs in the sports media world. So we want to ask you about possibly the Ryan Suter of the sports media world UFA, and that's Glenn Healy. Where do you think Glenn Healy's going to sign?
Oh, definitely Detroit. Detroit. sir, that was Suter, right? I'm trying. Or in Minnesota. Where is he going?
Minnesota.
I think Glenn Healy has a little bit of a dilemma on his hands. He's getting a lot of interest. I think it's from Rogers Sportsnet. He won't say who it's from. But he also has CBC still interested. Now, CBC, because they still think they're the kings of the hill, they're going very slow with the negotiations with him. And I think if Healy had his way, he'd move tomorrow to Sportsnet. But the problem is Sportsnet has no playoff broadcasting. So start April 1st, you're not, or April 8th or whatever it is, there's no games, there's no playoff games on your network. You do some panel stuff, but by and large, you're kind of a second banana. They also have no national product. So for Healy, being between the benches of a Hockey Night in Canada game or being in the panel on Hockey Night in Canada, et cetera, that gives him a national profile that he just wouldn't have at Sportsnet. So I think he's got a bit of a dilemma that way. Nick Kyprios of Sportsnet is also, the last time I spoke to him, still hasn't signed with Sportsnet. I think he's dickering with them. I would think that he will probably come back to them, but it will depend on what happens. If Healy signs with Sportsnet, then Kyprios might have a bit of a different role.
Yeah, we talked about before about the television networks and who's involved in the negotiations. Bruce, the NHL Network, and you see with the NFL Network and the Major League Baseball Network too, the NFL Network's now getting this Thursday Night Football, and the NFL's producing the product, and they're getting their own night. That's going to be more common this year. Do you see the NHL Network ever moving in that direction with having their own, you know, Thursday night game or whatever it may be?
They would like to. Again, this is John Collins' idea. He came from the NFL, and they were about creating these particular platforms. The dilemma they've got is that the NHL Network, which has largely been based in Canada the last number of years, nobody watches it here. You don't need to. You got TSN, which turns itself inside out for hockey. You've got Sportsnet, the same thing. CBC on the weekends, Hockey Night in Canada. There's no real niche for them. But if you're an American in the United States and you're a hockey fan where product is hard to find, the NHL Network is a real boon for you. And it'll be interesting to see. It's a 10-year contract with NBC, so I'm not quite sure how you would sell a sub-package to that. But I would think that they would love to be able to sell some live programming into the NHL Network to try to give it a little bit of a profile. However, when you do that, then you take it away from either NBC or you take it away from NBC Sports Network, which is the old Versus, and you don't help them. So they've got a kind of a narrow platform there. But they're desperate. They like to call it, you go to the NHL head offices and they talk about the Shield. We've got to get the Shield to be more popular. They really hate it. They don't say this, but they really hate it. The Hockey Night in Canada is like the number one brand in Canada, and the Shield is number five. So they would really like to market it. They would really like it to be bigger than it is. The NHL Network would be the way to do that, but largely only in the United States.
Bruce, we'll let you go on this last question. The Olympics obviously just ended about a couple weeks ago. And
they did. Oh, I got up early to watch the badminton. Yeah. It's not on.
No, sorry. So, don't worry. They fixed the badminton event anyways.
Yeah, that's true.
But NBC Sports Network really got a lot of priority viewing for a lot of people because they aired events live as opposed to NBC, which carried everything on tape delay. With NBC Sports Network finally gaining sort of a larger role and becoming more aware in people's mind, does that begin to vindicate the NHL for choosing them over being just another property on ESPN?
Well, I mean, that would be, you know, that you have to make the argument that I starved myself for 10 years and then I had a good meal is a good strategy. Certainly in the short term, staying with ESPN would have been a better move. ESPN2, they gave hockey a high profile. I don't care what anyone says. They gave it a high profile. ESPN is on all over the place. You go to the hotels and you go to the airports in the United States to see ESPN. They lost all that visibility for a long time. And it's only now, finally, with NBC basically bailing out Versus, that we're starting to see this happen. So to say it was a success, you'd have to predict that Gary Bettman and Ed Snyder, who owns the Flyers and also owns Versus Channel, you'd have to expect that they knew all along that they were going to merge with NBC. NBC was going to buy Versus, and they were going to put the Olympics on it like 7 or 8 years later. That's given them more credit than I think they're due.
Bruce Daubigan of the Globe and Mail, thanks as always for joining us this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Okay, boys, I think we're only going to talk about hockey for a little while here.
I suspect you're right, but hopefully they get this settled sooner rather than later. Thanks a lot, Bruce.
Yep.
Take care. Bruce Daubigan of the Globe and Mail. Let's go to break. When we come back, one final segment. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. Welcome Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. One final segment on this Saturday morning. This segment is brought to you by David Carr of Monopoly Realty. Buying and selling a house is one of the most important and stressful life experiences, not an experience to be undertaken by yourself or left in the hands of a rank amateur. David Carr of Monopoly Realty takes the stress out of your real estate experience while you are secure in the knowledge that a true real estate professional is looking after your transaction. David Carr of Monopoly Realty, 230-6129. That's David Carr of Monopoly Realty, 230-6129. That's the signal for rapid fire now. That's
what? Were you cueing me there?
Yeah, Remo, I was giving you the finger point for rapid fire.
Remo, let's talk about your glory days. Before
rapid
that.
Rapid fire.
Anytime now. There you go. Thank you. That's okay. That was your first real...
Remus, your glory days were the first seven segments of that era.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking, guys.
Well, the finger point is always the universal cue.
I wasn't paying attention.
That's okay. Freddie Brathwaite. Remember him?
I love... Former Manitoba Moose.
Is there
former
a universal cue to retire?
Freddie Brathwaite, 39 years young, has been playing overseas for the last number of years.
Germany.
He's been playing in Germany in the Deutsch League or whatever it's called there. He wants one more shot in the NHL.
Right.
He thinks that he can come into training camp and prove that he can be a backup goaltender. I'm not going to discuss about his chances because I don't think they're very good. The question I have is, of your sort of, you know, early 2000s, late 90s, mediocre NHL goaltenders, who's your favorite?
Ooh. You're talking about my boy Freddie Brathwaite there.
I like that question.
Hold
Drew.
On, against who's the other guy?
I like Roman Turek.
There was no other guy. I said, who's your favorite?
Just somebody that was mediocre.
Who's your
back?
Favorite mediocre late 90s, early 2000s NHL goaltender?
Roman Čechmánek.
He wasn't bad at it, but he actually had some good seasons except for in the playoffs. Roman Turek, you know, a lot of Romans in here.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey.
That's
Jim Carrey.
Line.
Didn't he win the Vezina one year?
And
he
the Calder.
Yep. Yeah.
And then he starred in The Mask.
Yeah. Loser.
So that's
Jocelyn Thibault.
Oh, no, that's a good one.
Like that one?
That's a good one.
There's many, actually. We can go. I mean,
John Casey.
Or basically any
John
goaltender that. No, actually, no.
John Casey saves that slap shot from Yzerman right over the blue line in 97. Maybe Gretzky gets a fifth cup. You know?
Against the Blues, you mean?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, the famous 0-0 game into, was it single overtime or double overtime?
It was double, and it would have been Grand Furinet, but the aforementioned Nick Kiprios ran him over.
That's right, and there was no suspension. Was there a suspension given to Kiprios?
No, there wasn't, no.
I remember that one. It was famous. Let's move along in rapid fire. Next question. Virginia beats Virginia. Doesn't it just scream
what
NHL?
What about Bobby Hebert?
Bobby
no,
Hebert.
that was
a football
Guy-Bear.
Player.
Guy-Bear.
Okay, Bobby Hebert was a football
are you just,
player.
If you want me to name drop someone that's pretty epic, Remus will like this, Mikhail Shtalenkov.
Oh, Mikhail Shtalenkov. He played for the Oilers for a bit.
Yeah. Virginia Beach, Virginia wants to build a $350 million arena in the hopes of attracting an NHL or an NBA team.
Where is that?
It's in Virginia.
Like, how big is the city?
I don't know that it's that big.
It's a beach.
Well, it's not a beach, but it's I don't think it's big enough to support an NHL team. If an NHL team was to move to Virginia Beach, Virginia,
okay,
how long would it take before that team is in financial dire straits?
Probably 1 year.
Yeah, I mean, do you go to the games in your sandals and your bathing suit?
I don't know about.
Does Winnipeg Beach want a team? Like, come on, guys, let's get real here.
They're not getting a team ever.
They're just finding any city, and any city who has somebody will say something of interest, huh?
Well,
still can't sell Phoenix.
Yeah, but they're going to move to Virginia Beach, Virginia. I think that maybe...
Like, are the New Jersey Devils going to move to Hoboken? Like, come on.
They might.
Kalamazoo?
The Montreal Canadiens, their uniforms have been voted the best in the NHL, NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball. I don't particularly disagree with this one at all, but if you had to pick a second-best team in any of the four major sports, what team would you pick to have the second-best uniforms?
Winnipeg Jets.
You know what? I mean, obviously the Yankees are up there. What about that the yellow Lakers jersey?
Like the 1980s Magic Johnson Lakers
that
jersey?
That one might... That one, for me, probably does it. Not the purple one they wear now, the whites on home Sundays, the yellow one.
The yellow one, the classic golden one. Are you going with Winnipeg Jets as your final answer is?
Yep.
Yeah.
Winnipeg, Ezzy, come on. Give it some thought.
I'm a true fan.
Is that what you are? Is that what it's called? Last question. according to some convoluted formula involving wins above 500, payroll per wins, playoff wins, and championships, sure, the Detroit Red Wings were deemed the smartest spenders in the NHL. Besides Detroit, what team do you think is the would be the smartest spender in the NHL based on your own formula?
Do I have to disclose my formula?
No.
I can just
just pick a team. What team do you think would you declare as the best spending team in the NHL?
Oh, it's easily Philadelphia.
I think, in all honesty, when you look at like the best spending teams in the National Hockey League, and you go through division by division, I mean, can you find anybody who's actually that good of a spending team? I don't really think you can. I guess right now it would have to be Phoenix. That'd be the team. But aside from that, I mean, there aren't many teams that are able to do that.
I would say, you know what? Detroit, I think, is in a class of their own. I would say maybe Nashville.
But Nashville pays all those forwards who can't score too much money. Maybe, so that's why discount them.
The last couple of years, they've overspent. But I think for a while there, Nashville was spending really well. You know what? Another team I'd like to mention, too, is maybe New Jersey. New Jersey is a team that...
When you're bankrupt, you can't spend any money.
Well, no, but I mean, we're talking the last, 15, 20 years. Yeah. Lou Lamoriello is notorious with Gomez and Niedermeyer. He would never overpay guys. I think
Brodeur, he
would never... I think he went a little bit too far, but I'd probably say the Devils or maybe Nashville.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And jeers.
No, not good enough. He's a bad boy.
I never seen something like this.
Surprisingly not good.
I have a jeer and a cheer. My jeer goes to Joe Thornton, who says he thinks the Sharks are still one of the best teams in the National Hockey League.
What's he supposed to say?
Well, say the truth.
Okay.
And the Sharks are fading. And Joe Thornton, if he says that, I'll say this. Joe Thornton's going to say that, then he better come back with a big bounce back season, because that team's fading pretty quick. My cheer goes to Michael Remus.
Really?
He's done a good job today.
Yeah.
Aside from that one gaffe.
Screwed up. Can all be winners, guys.
Can all be winners. But, 7 out of 8 ain't bad, right? Isn't that what Meatloaf said?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, and then he ate a meatloaf.
Yeah,
I think
you ate a meatloaf.
Yeah, you ate a meatloaf.
You actually took a bite out of meatloaf himself.
Definitely. Cheers to Remus and producer Tim, his
right-hand
very
man.
Smart teacher.
Is Remus an understudy today?
My second cheer is going to go...
apprentice.
My cheer is going to go to the NHL and the NHLPA. Why negotiate?
Your cheer?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
They're taking the next 10 days off. Yeah, they deserve it. Take those 10 days off. Take all the time you need. There's no season coming up or anything. Just relax. Take 20 days off. Just relax. Go to the beach.
I'll wrap up cheers and jeers by cheering. It's not hockey related, but I have to mention it. It was all over the Big Show all week long. Cheering the House of Ashkenazi softball team, of which I am a member.
We've both played for.
Yes, you both are previous members.
Yeah, alumni. Alumnus.
Your career ended in a bit of disgrace and everything, but that's okay.
It was mine or Richie's?
Disgrace maybe to you, not to me.
Richie, we'll deal with it. I think Richie's still got a suspension he's got to serve if
there's
he ever comes back.
I'd say you playing third base would be a disgrace.
Hey, I'm a good third baseman.
Apparently you've got quite the glove.
I am a good player. I can play softball. Thank you very much, both of you. Anyways, we won the championship, as anybody that listened to the Big Show all week heard. So a big cheer to myself for winning.
Why do I care about that, by the way?
To Dave Minuke, of course, of Illegal Curve.
Did you just cheer yourself?
I did cheer myself.
The only thing, it's like the fantasy team. Nobody cares about what you did in your own little league.
Everybody cares.
Nobody cares.
Matty Leibel of the Big Show.
Definitely don't care.
And everybody else who makes up the House of Ashkenazi for their triumphant victory in this year's Jewish Men's Slow Pitch League. That's it for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show for this Saturday morning.
Well, that's it. Can I jeer your cheer?
You already did. A big thank you to our guest, Bruce Dalbigan of the Globe and Mail. A big thank you to our sponsors, Carbone Coal Fired Pizza, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, the Cheer Bar and Grill, and David Carr of Monopoly Realty. In case you missed any of the program, it will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, subscribe, and get it sent to you each and every week. Follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And the website is www.illegalcurve.com. Next week, Richie, you're away. You're going to see Bruce Springsteen in Chicago. It'll be myself, Ezra Ginsberg, Michael Remus, and Dave Minuke in studio. 12 noon start time.
God help us all.
For 3 hours next week. 12 noon for 3 hours back to our regular start time. Thanks for listening. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.